Welcome to Diary on the One podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Just a disclaimer, I will keep saying Happy New Year. I love the New Year so much. I feel like I will say Happy New Year for the next 3 months. I'm just like, oh guys, Happy New Year. So with that being said, Happy New Year. How's everybody doing? I know it's a lot, but hey, you don't really have to do anything in January. You could just be like me, travel, have fun. Yeah, I know that's how my life looks like sometimes, but you could just chill and ease into the year. That's so much fun. I like to travel, so a little bit of travel for me and vacations, but and just work and friendships. So yeah, whatever suits you best in this season, do it, ease into it. I was actually saying this to somebody that, you know how you have free trial when you are like downloading an app you want to pay for, they're like, oh, there's a free trial for a month. Yeah, January should be a free trial. We should all get into January and test the year and go like, do I like it? And for you, if January isn't your free trial, just find another time. If you want July to be your free trial, let it be your free trial. Try it out. Zoom out. But yeah, whatever works for you. So with that being said, I love today's guest because with everything she does, I just recently came across her work and I was very curious to what's making this very young lady speak her mind so much and show up. I am like, oosh, the Aka in high school should have done this. Like, this is like a smart move. I should, like, it's giving, can we all have our students and high scholars meet in one room and just say, please, can you do this? Can you look up to this young lady? She's doing the Lord's work with your peers, because she's one of the same generation, but she has her peers. Like, she's doing the Lord's work with her peers, for her peers. So I'm kind of really excited to talk to her, get to know her, and introduce her to you guys so you can follow her work. She's such a sweet young lady. With that being said, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Miska. Miska, did I pronounce your name right? How do you feel about that pronunciation? Yeah? Ooh.
Yes, you did. Miska.
Ah, I'm proud of myself. Lord, I am happy. I did the Lord's work today. I'm so happy I did the Lord's work today, to be honest. But hey, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm doing fine, thank you. Happy New Year to you too.
How do you feel about the year?
I feel like it's a year of fresh beginning, new start, because, you know, I just completed school last year. And for me, it's just a new journey for me to just walk in with open arms and receive whatever comes to me, of course, in good faith.
When you say you just completed school, what does that mean? You just completed high school, right? To be specific.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, congratulations. When I was your age, when I was age, I got a job after high school. So I was about to say, I was just lingering, living my best life, but that would be a lie. How does that feel? You went from such a controlled environment to now getting into a world that is not really controlled. It's like, the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want. Now you don't live, you don't have so many rules that apply to you. How does that feel?
Honestly, it feels very good, relieving, I should say, because during my high school year, which was last year, the most critical year, grade 12, it was very difficult for me. I faced a lot of difficulties conforming to the standards of the school, setting an example to other people, because, by the way, not to brag, I was the head girl of my school. So, you know, there was this burden where I had to carry the whole school on my shoulders, trying to channel the right path for them, at the same time making time for myself to study. So now, finishing school just feels like, wow, everything has just, you know, been lifted off my shoulders. I feel like I can relax without being told, hey, do this, do that, we need you to do this by this time, we need you to get this done by then. So yeah, it feels relieving, I should say, very relieving.
I love that. I think high school is very underrated and overrated at the same time. There's so many rules. I was a prefect, but I was very disliked. Fun, but I was very disliked. And I didn't have so much fun in high school, you know? Like, I always look back and I'm like, I should have done that. Like, what made it in me to be so serious in high school? And also, it's like, you've known certain people for like 5 years, right? And you don't know if you're going to be friends with them for a lifetime or not. Who do you get to keep? Who don't you get to keep? Everything that applied in high school doesn't actually apply in society. So it's actually interesting to see you look at it. You mentioned you're the head girl, right?
Yes.
Did you ever have any imposter syndromes where you're like, I'm the head girl and I have to show up a certain way?
Many times, I'd say. Many times. Because most people would see me to be this kind of person, and I'd have to play the part for them. I'd have to be the girl that they want me to be. Especially the pressure really came from teachers. Oh, it was a struggle. From teachers, because where they see you like, no, don't do your work, you have to be studying at the same time. What are you doing as a head girl? I always had to be curved into a particular type of person. I had to be sculpted in a particular type of person in such a way that I began to lose myself more ways than one. Yeah, so I did feel this imposter syndrome many times, in many ways.
I get where you're coming from in terms that, I mean, a lot of us, we feel that way half of the time. And what you understand is we're all performing, we're all acting, right? You have to act in a certain way that your parents want you to act, your friends want you to act, probably your teachers at that time wanted you to act. And one thing you realize as you come into society, it's also it's a performance as well. Like, you are always indirectly performing. You might be like, oh no, I have control. Do you? Or do they want you to make you think that you have that? So it's something that would probably continue, but it's also good to realize it now. Or it's good that you have the awareness to say, ish, I really did just give those people a whole performance for 5 years. I'm an example of that. I gave everybody a good performance for 5 years. I was disliked, but people wanted to be in my life, but also did not like me. I don't know if you get the feel. And you get it more when you're a prefect, right? Like, I want you to be friends with you, but I'm also going to bash you behind your back. High school is such a movie. And when I was done with high school, I made a decision to say 95% of the people I knew in high school were cut off. Like, I remember when we used to cut people off? Yeah. After high school, I cut everybody off. Like, cut everybody off. And remain with, like, my 5%, we are like 10 friends that I'm really close to now. And, yeah, it's like, those are, like, my favorite people. So it's life. We're all performing all the time. And trust me, you will be performing more now that you're joining us. Like, hey, welcome to the real world. I perform every single time. But you can choose to do it or not, which is more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look back to your high school experience, what's your favorite thing that you did?
My most favorite thing that I did during my high school experience. Okay. I've had so many experiences that have made me very happy, but the one that stands out was during this launch. Yes, there was this launch for Liquid Telecommunications in our school. They were introducing internet in our school, and we were to be graced by the president. Sadly, he didn't come, but he was represented by the Minister of Education, and I was told to give a speech. And I guess I did okay, because like all the ministers behind stood up, clapped for me, give me a hug. I also got some money here and there. Yeah, but that was the best experience I had, because I saw how much potential I had as a young person. Because then I was a total nobody. Just one who got good grades in English, and they thought, okay, she can speak in front of people. But I was a total nobody, a little nerd. Yeah. But I feel at that moment, I felt myself grow. I saw the potential in me, and I saw that other people could also learn from me. And, you know, my life could, you know, shine here and there. I guess that was the best experience I had.
That's so interesting. And I don't know how I feel about you saying you're a total nobody, but it also could be like a good description of you in that moment. Was it you before being head girl or not?
That was me before head girl, before monitor, before all of it. It was just me. And your girl is yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say you're a total nobody. But there's this thing called the compound effect, right? The compound effect is the little things add up to the big stuff, right? Uh-huh. So maybe you raising your hand in class and showing your teachers, or you asking questions, showed people that, oh, yeah, she can actually represent us and speak, right? But let's look at it in terms of, yes, we can acknowledge that at that moment you did not have any position of power to be recognized, mm-hmm. right? But we can also look at it in a sense that, oh yeah, that did there are certain steps you did take that helped you be that person, if that makes any sense, right? So if you actually look back before that moment, before you were asked to give a speech, if you look back, mm-hmm. you'd find that there were certain moments that you put a vote into becoming that person to that day. Like, it just didn't happen like boom. No, like, you'd be surprised mm-hmm. how you've been building to that day. And maybe that day for you could be like the best day, because, hey, I am giving a speech. By the way, I would have failed to speak in public. Not my best suit, by the way, congratulations. But yeah, like, think about it in that way. And also, I think it's a good way to say I was a total nobody and they were impressed by me. That's okay. That's okay too. I'm so curious. Do you have any mentors?
Mentors? No, I do not have any mentors. Okay, I do. I have my mother and my father. And at that time, I had my head teacher. She wouldn't mentor me much, but she'd give me advice from here to there, from here and there. I also had my English teacher. Yes, my English teacher. But mostly it was just my parents. Yes. And mentoring in such a way that no. I guess it was just mentoring me in such a way that to keep me in check, not to lose myself, or not to have my emotions or mentality destroyed because of whatever I was going through. Maybe that sort of way. But mentoring me to do the public speaking and the what, no, I did not have that.
That's interesting. I was asking if you're a mentor because I'm so curious to know how fast you are with technology. Yeah, it's normal for a student to know different platforms, especially LinkedIn. But you just completed your high school. You know about LinkedIn. You are posting better than me. I am here just like, okay, I should really check myself.
For the LinkedIn account, I got to know about it through this same project that we had. It was called the Girls in STEM Reality Check Program. And they introduced us to this app where we gain more connections in a productive way. Yeah. So that's why I got to learn it from, and I started building it from there. You know, I had these pictures that mom would take of me during every milestone of high school. And I was like, let me just throw them in there and see where this takes me.
What motivates you to join advocacy? It's such a big umbrella, right? And in specifically, why did you join the education? You could have done anything. It could be climate change, sexual reproductive health. Like, there's so many stuff, financial literacy. Why education and why advocacy?
All right. So the main reason why I chose for children's rights advocacy, especially under Zambia Civic Education Association, is that, first of all, most children are unaware of the rights that they have. I mean, most children do not know that they have rights and responsibilities as citizens. Equally, they not properly recognized, especially by heads of state, especially when we come to children who are living in shanty compounds or rural areas. So as a child rights advocate, I took interest because I wanted to be, can I say, a speaker for them or an amplifier to voice out their views and concerns, especially to stakeholders, heads of state, and to our leaders in government, because you find that most of them do not have means and ways to communicate the issues or the things that they are going through, especially where they're coming from. So I joined Zambia Civic Education Association because it was a means by which I could spread awareness to young people, especially children. I could spread awareness to other people in the community so that they know that these children they're keeping have rights and they also have responsibility. Yeah, I think that's the main reason why I joined it.
That's so interesting. I've never thought it about it that way, but I think it's also true that a lot of kids don't know their rights. I don't even think as citizens we know our rights. We also just, like, I'll say I'm very ignorant about a lot of stuff, right? And this is why I started the podcast. It's not even a joke. It's true. I'm very ignorant about a lot of stuff, and that's why I started a podcast, because I'm like, for the person I am, I should have this information. I should know this, but I don't, you know? So it's true. I agree. Like, a lot of kids don't know their rights. A lot of them get abused, and because we're not having these conversations, and there's no one to keep accountable for, because why would anyone want to regulate something they do not have a right to? They don't know the rights to. So the perpetrators won't even care that you don't know your rights. Like, oh, you don't know your rights. We'll abuse you more and not mention your rights. So, yeah, it really sheds a lot of light and makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So how long have you been advocating?
I started advocating in grade 10. So I count that to 12, 11, 10, 3 years now. Yes. I started advocating in grade 10.
That's very interesting. Has it only just been about children's rights, or you have explored and worked with other organizations?
Well, I've also gone about doing awareness on gender-based violence, climate change as well. I think I've done these through debate competitions and other sensitization means. During my 10th grade, I worked with the United Nations under a debate program that worked on spreading awareness on things to do with climate change. Yeah. So other organizations, I guess, I also worked with UNFPA for gender-based violence. That was after I completed my secondary school.
That's so interesting. Now that you done with high school and you're now trying to find different platforms for yourself to get into, my question is, as you go into this new season of your life, do you have any specific organization or area you'd like to work on as an advocate?
I've started growing a passion for climate action. Saving the earth and whatnot. And honestly, I'd like to work with the United Nations. Yeah, that's my dream.
Hey, I now, mean, working for the UN is a flex, man. Yes, I get it. Hey, guys, I get it. Like, I haven't worked with the UN before, I don't think so, but I've worked with UNICEF, and they had this thing they used to call the climate change ambassador. I'm like an ambassador, so that never goes away. So we did that in 2015, which is a flex. And why I'm asking this question is, it's fun. Like, it's like one of my favorite things that I got to do when I was in high school. Why I'm asking this question is, when you're in high school, it's easy because you can actually work on different stuff because those things come to your school, right? But now when you are in society, you have to be very intentional of how you will place yourself. I use the word place yourself because there's a lot going on and you kind of have to be very intentional of and know them early. I wish I knew a lot of stuff early. But like, you need to place yourself and have a clear path to say, hey, children's rights is fun, but I know the trend now are the SDGs. Children's rights is also part of the SDGs, among the 17 SDGs, right? But mostly a lot of people would be concentrating more on climate change. So it's what would work good for now, and also never really put your identity to that one thing. And I like that you're switching. When you're in high school, you focus more on child's education. Now that you are transitioning into adulthood and society, you're tweaking it and thinking it in a different way. So my question to you is, who do you think you are? Not in a bad way, right? Let me rephrase that. Why do you do what you do? That sounded like, hey, why? Yeah, no. Why do you do what you do? Because at first, you've just been moving from one thing to the next, but somehow pushing the same agenda, right? So when you look at yourself and think, oh, why do I do what I do? So why do you do what you do?
Okay, so basically you're asking, why do I bring issues to the table, want to solve them, put them into place? I feel like it's my purpose. I don't know, it sounds good, but I feel like that's kind of like my purpose, where I channel my talents into something meaningful, bringing issues to the table and making them known to people who are unaware about these problems that we are facing, because these problems are real and we are all facing them, and one way or another it's going to backfire really, really hard if they're not taken in as they should be. And so I feel like I need to create time in such a way that I bring these issues on the table, allow other people to see what they need to see, and also be, I'd say, an inspiration to other young girls who are following behind me, whereby when they look, they're like, oh, I think I want to do that too, you know, that kind of thing, whereby we are not girls who want to just be conformed to do things that please us on our own, but things that are going to benefit everyone, like as a whole or as a nation. World country. Yeah. So I felt like I do this because it's what I'm passionate about, and not only is it my purpose? It's something that I want people to see, whereby when I bring issues to the table, when I bring challenges that we are facing, it should generate critical thinking and problem-solving skills, whereby, you know, things are just being done, like done, not we're looking at problems and we're just letting them be, waiting for those people who are up there to come and solve them for us, you know. Yeah, I think that's why I do what I do.
I like that. Thank you so much for breaking it down and wanting to be an inspiration for the rest of us. We need that. We need more people to be inspirations. We need more people to inspire others. And I think this is why I do what I do as well, to just get more voices out there and inspire mm-hmm. others more. What will you do if, with all your big plans, you don't get a seat at the table?
I guess I'll do what I've always been doing. Keep on trying hard, finding other means, and just pushing forward. Because yes, rejections are real, and sometimes we don't get what we want. But as long as what we are pushing for is being pushed, then I think that's what matters. Even though the recognition is not gotten, as long as what you want to achieve is being achieved at the end of the day, I think that's what matters. And if all goes south instead of north, where it's supposed to go, I think I'll just keep on keeping on, keep on pushing for what I can push for, and just finding other means and ways to achieve what I want to achieve.
And again, if you don't get a seat at the table, you should just create beauty on table. It's fun. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Build your own table, sis. You don't need to be at every table. It's like, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. So even if, I like what you said, you push forward. Yeah, you can also think about it in a way of building your own table. And that will look different. That will be more challenging and hard. But in 5-10 years, it's going to be very satisfying.
You have opened my mind.
I am glad. I wish I had somebody to tell me that real early. You know what I mean? Like, if the table, if they don't want to give you a chair at a certain table, build your own. But also, it's very important to experience people and organizations so that you know what you don't want in the future. That's why it's important to volunteer and work with people so that you know what not to do to others and what not to get yourself involved in. Like, and certain things can only be learned if experienced. Like, I can give you the gist, but you're like, I don't think that happened. Until it happens and you're like, ah, okay. And it might look differently for everybody. So it's okay to have an exploring phase like you have now. Explore more. Don't, I would say, don't be too fixed on one thing. Be open to other stuff. That will help you know a lot of stuff early. So it's knowing to quit, right? And every time you do something new with an organization or not, it's okay to back out. It's okay to say, I'm going to give you 3 months of my time. After that, I'm out. You know what I mean? No one is going to hold that against you. I wish I knew that earlier. I knew it was okay for me to leave an organization and not hold on to relationships so much. So, yeah, like, as you get, and the thing about advocacy, the advocacy community, I don't think we tell each other the truth, if you know what I mean, if that makes any sense. So what happens is, if you are young and you get into it and you don't have anyone to guide you, the only way you're going to learn how to navigate through it is after 2 years. And you'd wish you'd have known a lot of stuff real early. And for you, as you get into it, and for everybody listening, hey, find somebody that did it. You know what? Find a mentor in that space. So you can always go ask if this is normal, if this is okay. Are you being abused or not? It's a lot of thin lines, and it's very sensitive because, hey, people in advocacy are doing the Lord's work. We need more people like that, but there's a lot of abuse in it too. And I might get bashed for this, but we don't have enough conversations about it. But there is, like, there's a lot of abuse in it. So as much as we want youths and young people to join in, we just need more sensitizing organizations and them. Sometimes it could be an abuse, the organization is abusing the person, and the person or the person is abusing the organization. It's a two-way thing. So yeah, like, you, but you're gonna have fun, you're gonna meet new people, you're gonna do exciting stuff, and stick with the UN people. They're pretty cool people, I heard.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the one thing about your parents that inspires you to become the person you are right now?
My parents are really hardworking. They inspire me in such a way that, despite all the hardships that they go through, or the ones that I can see, they really push forward and really inspire me to do what I do, because they'll be like, you can do it. Like I said earlier, they are my mentor. Yeah, because they always made time for me despite the busy schedule, and always made time to say congratulations. So that was nice to do, and it was very motivating for me, because you know, young people, like, when they achieve something, they get a little something back as a something to trigger more motivation in them to be even better next time. So they always did that part. They always made time to push me forward, to rebuke me when they needed to, and to just mold me in the way that I was supposed to go, despite their busyness and whatever they have to go through outside the closed doors.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Hearing you speak about your parents is so inspiring. Kind of makes me think of what type of a parent I would like to be in the very, very, very far future, by the way. Because I think when you come from a household where you're loved and appreciated, you go out in the world and you conduct yourself as a person who knows they're loved and appreciated. I always say we should honor our parents or the guardians that raised us, because they make us see the world. So the first people, your parents will be the first people you how you view the world, right? And also the people for the last 18 years you'd always come back to for support and love and appreciation. So if you grew up in a household, let's say a broken household, where that is hard to show, trust me, even as you walk into the earth, you will still showcase that, because you were not nurtured well. And to be honest, I'm glad you're loved and appreciated at home. So when you come outside the world, you don't really have to seek so much outside validation, because at home, you were nurtured, you were loved, and you were well kept. And let me say this, that would feel like a very underrated feeling. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, I don't want to be done that to me. No, sis, it's important, because when you do it, it's all you need. And you'd be surprised the sometimes when things get hard, because things will get hard, where things get confusing, when you go back home and speak to your dad and break it down, it will make sense. And you also reach a point where you'd probably start having, as you grow in your career and your journey, you start having other mentors, right? But you're becoming from a place of love. And that's something to be very grateful for.
I'm very grateful for them, honestly. I'm very grateful for them.
I'm glad for you. We're almost coming to the end of the podcast. Maybe. Yeah. So soon. You're the first guest to ever say so soon out loud. I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay. So first of all, you said you're working, maybe work under UNICEF. I think I'll break it down to two questions, if that's okay.
Okay. That's okay.
So, do you still work under UNICEF, and how did you become a part of them? That's question number one.
I'll answer question number one, then you can ask me the second question. How does that sound? Because okay. I'll forget. Okay. So with UNICEF, they had this program called the Climate Change Ambassadors Conference, where they would have pupils in high school travel to a different place. We traveled to Livingstone Estate for a week and learn about climate change for a week. And then when you go back to your society, when you go back to your communities, you become ambassadors and you go to communities, you go to schools and just the community in general, create clubs, sensitize about climate change, the effects, how you mitigate it, this and that and that and that. So I do not think that's like an active group now. I stopped being, I'll always be an ambassador. Right, because I was trained to be an ambassador. I have certification in that. I do not work under UNICEF anymore. At the current moment when I joined, I wrote an essay with my horrible handwriting and my broken English to why I should become an ambassador. And I was picked, surprisingly. So that happened in high school, and that's the first time I'm different from you. So with me in high school, I'm not book smart and I wasn't good in English. So I discovered that I needed to do something else to stand out. So volunteering and working with different organizations. So I think for me, it was volunteering and running, right? Like that's all I needed to stand out. So yeah, that's why I said advocacy. And I think I stayed in advocacy till 2021. I would say, 2020 or 2021. But then I also, I did my transition to business and less of advocacy. And that's the little background about the UNICEF Climate Change Ambassador. And I got to really meet cool people who are literally my family now. Yeah.
Okay. And then the second question that breaks down to two questions once more. what inspired you to start doing podcasts? You mentioned earlier that you really don't like, standing in front of an audience. If I'm not mistaken.
Please go on.
Okay. So, what inspired you to start making podcasts? And how did it all begin? And for how long have you been doing it? Okay, that's three questions.
I've been doing it for a year now. I'll officially clock a year in February, so which is like just after next week. I'll be a year with the podcast. What inspired the podcast? Good question. So with the podcast, So every year I do a new challenge with myself when it comes to growth, right? I also decide to do something different. I've always wanted to have a podcast. And I had a conversation with my older brother in 2021 about me starting a podcast, but it didn't feel like the right time because I always have my imposter syndrome. Am I good enough for this and that? So the podcast has always been at the back of my mind. But why I started it was, in general, I like to have a new challenge every year. I like to do something very different every year, right? So also, I always think that for you to get onto a different level in your life, you have to do something different. So you can't do the same thing you did last year and expect different results. It will be the same results, right? You can still work on the same thing, but do it differently. So last year, after my trip to the US, we were all supposed to work on our LCP projects. Those are our Leadership for Change projects. And some got funding, I didn't. But I was like, it would be so cool to just have a place where I can have cool conversations with different people. And because I am such a deep conversation type of person, I can't do small talk. So sad. But I always find myself having these amazing conversations with different individuals, people I know, strangers, like, name it. So I decided to say, I feel like a lot of people would benefit from these conversations the way I benefit from them. I feel like a lot of people need to hear these people speak. They'll get inspired, right? And that is deep-rooted in the fact that my purpose, or why I do what I do in general, is to help young people get the skill sets they need to reach their full potential. And this would look very different from everybody in different settings. And I work towards this goal differently. And that the podcast fits in the whole purpose thing because, yeah, it probably gets people inspired. So yeah, I hope I've answered your question. But as such, do you want to ask me another? I could give you a bonus.
I'd love that. Okay, last question. Are you enjoying yourself? With what you do? Yes. Do you see yourself doing the next challenge next year? You continue doing on the podcast?
Yeah, I am enjoying myself. So the next challenge is actually in 2025, by the way. I'm very skeptical about a lot of stuff, but I do see myself with a podcast growing, that's for sure. So I do see myself growing with the podcast and growing with the brand, because now people know it, right? Like, anyone that sees me and bumps into me, they're like, we see what you're doing. And I'm like, very awkward. Again, I'm a very awkward person. So I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm out in public. But yeah, I do hope the podcast can go and transition with me as I plan to transition and grow with me. I have a few plans of how like the last 5 years would look like for the podcast. So I'm very excited, and I do enjoy myself with you. And it's like a leap of faith. You reach out to somebody and they say yes, and then sometimes you meet them before the podcast, or the only time I get to talk to them is when I'm recording with them, and it's not awkward, it's fun. Yeah, I'm glad podcast attracts such people. So yeah, I am definitely enjoying myself.
One last question, please. You're thinking of thinking of another question.
Okay.
During the first segment of this podcast, you asked me what I'd do if you were sick. So have you ever encountered a situation where someone does not trust you because they do not know you? And how do you make yourself known or convincing to people that
I actually don't try to convince people I'm legit. I try my best not to approach people. But then for me, my rejection from people never comes from a place of they don't think I'm legit. Okay, sometimes they're just skeptical if they want their brand associated to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's different, right? Like you want to, yeah. So they always like do, especially when the podcast was starting, I got a lot of no's, right? Because they don't know if they want to associate themselves to me. Like when you're on my podcast, you're associating myself with me. If I ever say something against your values or what people think your values are, that would be a big thing for your brand. So I would think maybe that. I haven't encountered anyone asking if I'm fake. It's just the association part. Because one thing about all of us, we know each other, right? Indirectly, we've seen people's work. We probably worked with them indirectly. We know, we're like, it's a small city. We know each other. It's just that a lot of people just don't want to associate. And it took me a while not to get agitated by that or get upset. Because I'm like, you and I are cool. And I started the podcast and you don't have your own podcast kind of energy. And I'm like, that's cool. I think everybody has a right to choose what they want to associate with or not. It's something that took me a while, but gave me so much peace when I got to accept that it's okay for somebody to choose or not to choose you. And yeah, so now with the podcast and with the rate it's growing, it also now will get to pick if it wants to associate with people or not. And the same way we didn't get offended, I hope others don't. And I think that's just a cycle of life, right? Like you want something, now you don't get it. And later on, somebody wants something and they don't get it. It's nothing personal. Because now it also has its own standards, its own values. The company has standards, values we uphold to. So yeah, it's. I think it's just life, to be honest. It's, thank God. Maybe, I'm trying to think, and maybe a practical example is, I wouldn't think people thought I was fake. Maybe they thought I was crazy because I always talk about these big ideas. And they only said to realize later, then everybody was like, oh, she's onto something. Right? So I'm glad I'm past the fake phase, I think. Because I'm always questioning if a lot of stuff is fake this week. But yeah, I'm glad I'm past the fake phase. But I think it's more the question they might be asking is like, are you sure you want to do that? Don't you think that's a big move kind of questions? But yeah, it's, yeah, it's that.
Thanks.
I'm about to just say no more questions. This was fun. My last question to you is, what do you look forward to?
When? Now?
What do you look forward to in the future? It could be in a year, in 5, in 10 years, but when you look at yourself as Miska, you're just like, oh my goodness, my big picture is this and this and this. And that's all I'm asking.
Okay. I look forward to seeing myself in a place or at a position where I'm able to speak to a large mass of people and communicate more with them, educating them again about their rights, what they are privileged to. At the same time, I also see myself starting school and juggling the two at the same time. Yeah.
I love that for you. And honestly, if you ever need somebody to talk to, hit me up. You now have my number. Hit me up. Take me, like, remind me, we should grab some coffee soon. Like, catch me in March. I think my schedule looks good in March, but catch me on a day and we can grab some coffee and catch up. There's so many great. Yeah, like there's so many of us happy to see young women step up. Even at your age, I'm excited for you to experience what we all had to experience early. And trust me, my brother said to me, and that's like the coolest thing, I always caught my brother in this, but my brothers are amazing anyway. But yeah, one of my brothers said to me, which was like 2019, he said, because I would get so anxious for me to go on TV and speak about a project I was working on. And he would say, look at yourself now and all the things you're doing. It will make sense 5 years from now. And on his birthday, we had a whole lengthy conversation about life. We do this, it's our tradition. And I was like, you're right. Like I look at myself now and I'm like, it made sense 5 years ago. Like looking forward doesn't make sense, but looking backwards will always make sense. So, and comes from Steve Jobs' commencement speech. So yeah, literally. And as you do life and join us in this very functional and sometimes dysfunction world, have fun. Mm-hmm. Have fun. Have a lot of fun and meet a lot of people. And live life fully. Trust me. I should be your big sis on this. Well, Miska, it's been amazing talking to you. I loved every minute and I loved getting to know you. Do you have anything else you'd like to add in closing?
Do I? It has become a whole paragraph, a whole speech now.
It's okay. It's valid.
I enjoyed myself. This was a huge leap of faith and my first ever podcast. And, you know, I've enjoyed myself from the laughs to the talks. And I wish you all the best in all this that you're doing. And I hope to be a part of it another time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Myself. I really did, honestly, and I hope this goes a long way and it communicates to the larger mass that you want it to communicate to.
Thank you so much. I have enjoyed having you, and for everybody listening to us, thank you so much for staying tuned and laughing. I hope you laughed so much and learned something from this brilliant young lady. And with that being said, share it with a friend, especially those that are completing high school, or those that are planning on working with different organizations and don't know how to do it. Follow Miska. She's really doing the Lord's work for others on that. And again, we're grateful that you're here. With that being said, thank you so much and bye for now.